Blog Talk Radio. Thursday night, and you know what that means. It's time for the latest edition of the four-time award-winning, politically direct, and of course, I am New Jersey's premier journalist, your culture warrior, your favorite professor, and of course, the sworn enemy of social justice cons and woke fools everywhere, Fernando Uribe. And certainly, folks, I want to thank you all for tuning in here on the 16th of September. Yes, we are back from summer break. I'm excited about that. And I hope you all had a wonderful summer. We're able to catch up with family. Obviously, a very different summer this year than it was in 2020. Hope you get to travel a little bit. Again, go see some family members maybe you haven't seen in the last year due to the pandemic. Maybe you went out to catch a ball game. I don't know, whatever. Hopefully, you're able to enjoy it. And as we all know, folks, here on Politically Direct, politics never takes a break. And we're, again, back at it here, you know, again, as we start September. And certainly it is election season. We have a lot to talk about in the next few weeks leading up to Election Day, which is 47 days away, ladies and gentlemen, here in the state of New Jersey. Certainly a very interesting gubernatorial race. A lot of interesting legislative races all around the state. And, of course, local races here in Hudson County. We have city council races in Jersey City. We have a city council race in Hoboken. We also, you know, again, right next door in Bergen County, a lot of municipalities have their own races as well, even out as far as Morris County also, folks. So a lot to talk about in these next few weeks here. And certainly I want to thank you all for tuning in here on Blog Talk Radio from wherever and however you may be doing so. And without a doubt, folks, if you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic coming up in the next few weeks, write to the show, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. If you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic, write to me. I do answer my emails rather promptly, and I'll make sure to get back to you. Perhaps a guest that you have not heard from yet, maybe you want to hear from him or her on the podcast. Again, I get those exclusives, folks, that other podcasts do not get in New Jersey media, so I'll try my best to accommodate your request there when you write to the show. Once again, the inbox, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a little behind on that page. You can check out politicallydirectnj. And also, of course, check out my own Instagram, at Professor Fernando Uribe. Hey, tons of new likes, plenty of new followers. I know many of you enjoy my Instagram stories, whether it's about pro wrestling, I don't know, sports, funny memes, I don't know, opinions about anything. People enjoy them, and I'm sure you will too when you check me out on Instagram. Again, folks, at Professor Fernando Uribe, U-R-I-B-E. And also on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, hit me up there as well, at No Filter Uribe. Again, many thoughts I have on there, whether it's about politics, whether it's about sports, pro wrestling, me being pissed off about my Dallas Cowboys starting the season 0-1, but let's see if they get back to .500 this Sunday, or, you know, talk about the Yankees, whether or not their playoff chances are still alive, whatever. I love Twitter. It gives me a chance to rant and rave on a daily basis, so definitely check me out as well. Folks, also for all you Facebook subscribers, please go to the official page for Politically Direct. Like it, of course. and tell your friends to do the same. And folks, we'll have a great guest come up in just a few moments. But as always, you can tune in, obviously, as you are here on Blog Talk Radio. And feel free to call in tonight if you wish to get on the air and talk with me and my guest. Certainly allowed to discuss this evening. Call in toll-free, folks, 818-572-8032. Once again, 818-572-8032 is a toll-free number. I'll take some calls later in the show. We wish to get on the air and opine about what's going on in today's political climate in New Jersey and also anything about our guest this evening. So maybe you want to check that out as well. Folks, again, our toll-free number is brought to you by Insider NJ. Now, I've been proud to partner with Insider NJ since January of 2018 when I first started this podcast. And without a doubt, folks, it is the perennial source for political news in the state of New Jersey, without question. You can always go to www.insidernj.com for the best source of political news, whether it's this election season or any election season. Folks, you can't go wrong with Insider NJ. Again, once you go on the main page, you'll see the subscribe button on the upper right-hand corner. And once you do, click on that, and you'll be automatically enrolled in the morning intelligence briefing. And, of course, when you wake up in the morning and let's say you are, I don't know, checking your inbox, maybe working out, walking your dog, maybe you're browsing the cable news shows, hopefully not anything on MSNBC or CNN, you know, unless you want to lose brain cells, I don't know why you would do that. But, again, if you're checking out hopefully Fox and Friends or watching the sports shows, which is what I do. I watch Fox Sports religiously. I'm watching First Things First with Nick Wright. Obviously, I'm watching Undisputed with Skip and Shannon. Of course, I'm watching The Herd with Colin Cowherd. So but regardless of what I'm doing, folks, like everyone else, I'm on my phone. And once I'm on my phone and I'm checking my inbox, I'll see the morning intelligence briefing there waiting for me. And guess what? It consists of the best columns and editorials in the state of New Jersey. And again, folks, I can't say enough about how proud I am to be on the Insider NJ team. I'm eternally grateful to the Graham family, specifically Mike Graham, for his support of the show, not just only paying me, but, of course, for his support of the broadcast. I mean, it's as simple as that. Certainly my Insider NJ GM, Pete Onelia. Again, I'm deeply grateful for his support of the podcast. I didn't know what to make of this project back in January 2018. I already have a successful Hudson County-centric podcast on Wednesday nights. I didn't know what a, you know, statewide podcast would consist of and whether or not people would listen, hopefully. But, you know, partnering with Insider NJ makes it a lot easier. And, again, having played organized sports most of my young life and some into my adult life as well, you know, I believe in teamwork. You know, you don't always have to like your teammates, but you put that aside to be a good teammate and work towards a goal, and that's to be the best that there is in New Jersey politics when it comes to media and when it comes to online news. And again, I don't like a lot of my colleagues. I don't like a lot of my teammates, whether it's Max Pizarro, the editor, not a fan of his politics at all. I mean, he's a good writer and everything, you know, and I'll give him that, but, you know, not a fan of him personally. But hey, you put that aside, you just try to work together towards a common goal. Again, that's to be the best. Same goes with other people. You know, Jay Lasseter is another guy I don't like. You know, he's practically a clown, in my opinion. But he's a hell of a good writer. I'll give him his due. He's a good investigative journalist, writes very interesting columns. And I respect him for that. I don't respect him for his political IQ because it's rather low, but that's just my opinion. But, of course, you know, we have other teammates, an amazing writer. I love having Fred on the show. He's great. Even Alan Steinberg. We'll be pre-recording an episode tomorrow, as a matter of fact, with Alan Steinberg. He has a lot to say about this gubernatorial race, and obviously his columns are always very thought-provoking as well. So, again, you know, may not like all of my teammates, but you find a way to coexist and just work, again, towards that goal, and that's to be the best in New Jersey media. And, folks, that is what Insider NJ is. Bottom line, check it out, InsiderNJ.com. Don't forget to like Insider NJ on Facebook and certainly follow Insider NJ on Twitter. Always remember, ladies and gentlemen, to start and end your day with Insider NJ. Folks, again, we're approaching 9:10 here on the East Coast. As a reminder, the opinions and views expressed here tonight and every week on Politically Direct are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent those of the management, the staff, or our sponsors. Again, folks, 818-572-8032, our toll-free number again tonight, sponsored by Insider Rand J. I'll take some calls later in the show if you wish to call in and opine about this election season. And certainly, folks, as we approach, and it's 47 days away, you know, my responsibility to you, the listeners, is to bring on candidates that, you know, are in the news, are very interesting candidates, candidates that are vying for political office, maybe for the first time, or, you know, for whatever reason, they wish to get involved in public service. And that's something to admire, as far as I'm concerned. I ran for state assembly 10 years ago up here in Hudson County. You know me, you know, I'm probably one of the more conservative people you'll ever know. That was kind of a suicide dive, as they say, to run in a deeply blue county. But I did it. I ran a very grassroots campaign. I'm proud of that. And since then, folks, I've entered academia. I work in higher education, and I would argue I'm New Jersey's premier journalist. So I'm very happy doing that. But for others that want to, you know, get into politics and run for office and ultimately win office, that's something I always want to admire and hold in high regard. And speaking of running for office, ladies and gentlemen, tonight here exclusively on Politically Direct, joining me live, he is a council candidate in the township of Parsippany, a great town up, you know, Morris County area. When you're driving along Route 46, you know, for me, coming from Hudson County, when you pass Willowbrook Mall and you're going a little bit more on 46, it's an amazing township, great people, great food, great restaurants, and hey, this could be your next councilman, folks. He joins me live here tonight. He is the great Justin Musella here on Politically Direct.
Hey, Fernando. Good evening. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I really appreciate you having me on tonight.
Hey, listen, the pleasure's all mine, man. I love having guests on that want to talk, you know, policy. I'm a policy nerd. I always admire guys and girls that want to get into public service, that run for office. It's not easy. It's laborious. It's exhausting, but it's fulfilling. When your heart's in the right place and you're well-intentioned, I can totally tell you are. And again, you know, kudos to you, man. You want to run for a council position in Parsippany, so it's a great township. So I think the question that most people have listening tonight to you, and I appreciate you plugging the episode too, is why is Justin Musella looking to run and help govern in the township of Parsippany?
Well, that's always where we begin, is we begin with why we are running for office, because everything else that comes after it is meaningless. So to answer your question, why I'm running is I'm running because I want to make a difference in the lives of other people, particularly in the township of Parsippany. And I am a newcomer to the scene. And, you know, all around town, as I've spoken to people, they tell me of this pride that they used to feel in town. They speak of how clean the town was, how services were provided in an efficient and timely way. And they feel as if sometimes the best days are behind them. And it's really hard for somebody like myself who, you know, God willing, one day will be raising a family in here, in this town, and to think that the future might be darker for not only the rest of the younger people, I am a millennial, but also for the kids that I plan to have and go through the school system, that's just unacceptable to me. And you can do two things about it when you see a problem. You can either encourage other people to step up to the plate and solve the problem. And so I've decided to do that. I've put my best foot forward. And I have to say, I am so grateful and blessed at the outpouring of support, at all of the positive feedback I've received talking about the issues and how my ticket plans on restoring that pride that people feel is almost gone.
Justin, let's get into the sort of the meat and potatoes of a race here, and let's look at the township of Parsippany. Every municipality has different issues. Perhaps demographics change in townships, as we all know. census data is really reflecting a drastic change in New Jersey along certain ethnic lines, and that's certainly going to be an issue about redistricting. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, what concerns you the most? I mean, obviously you're running because you are not happy currently with the state of the township of Parsippany, and you're looking to get involved and change it for the better ultimately. So, again, sort of a basic question I think for our listeners tonight is, in your eyes, what is wrong with Parsippany and what is Mosella looking to do to make it better for its residents?
So there's three things that are wrong with Parsippany. And the first problem is that we've had the out-of-control tax and utility rate hikes that have severely diminished the quality of life people are able to have living in this town. And in the past year, for instance, under a pandemic year, one of the largest issues is that the water and sewer utility rates went up by almost 40% on people in what is arguably one of the worst years we've probably ever remember. Myself, a millennial, really the 2 years going back in my own memory, 9/11, you know, set off 2001, which was a really dismal year, and then probably 2009, which was the Great Recession. And then we have the pandemic. So I thought that it was a particularly wrong decision to raise rates on people who were suffering and not to insist on a decrease in local town hall spending that could have been achieved. Number two is the overdevelopment that's been occurring in Parsippany. Right now, they're scheduled to be developed almost 14 apartment complexes. That's going to add about 4,000 units in Parsippany. And one of the things that's great about Parsippany is you had mentioned earlier, it's a large town with something to offer everyone, but really at the core of what makes it unique is it is that large town, but it still has that small community atmosphere that so many people hold on to and remember it. And unfortunately, with the massive amount of development, and particularly what concerns me the most is when it is being done with pilots, which are essentially taxpayer-subsidized development, that concerns me because it – and then number three is the mismanagement at town hall. Unfortunately, there have been headline after headline of turnover with respect to people who provide critical services, and this has disrupted the normal flow of how municipal operations go on. So what we plan to do about it is the first thing is when we win on November 2nd, we have to eliminate a lot of the nepotism jobs that happened under the last 4 years that the previous administrations, both Democrat and Republican, never had. So any of those jobs that don't provide any value to the taxpayers, I would strongly insist on being cut. We also have to look at technologically optimizing the way that town hall is run. And in particular, another serious concern of mine is that after our departing councilwoman Peterson leaves, there's going to be nobody on town council that will be under the age of 50. I feel like it's very important to have younger representation on town council since half of the families and registered voters are under that age. And then lastly, I come from the private sector and I know how to grow companies. I work in sales. So my job consists of bringing in revenue and keeping expenses as minimal as possible. So with my other two running mates, they have a tremendous amount of knowledge. So I'll work with them to ensure that town hall is running lean and efficiently and that people are getting the maximum value out of every dollar that they send to town hall, and that we will also be a strong check on the overdevelopment that is done on town, specifically when it concerns the use of taxpayer funds.
That's a great breakdown there. Folks, if you're just joining us right now, it's 9:20 on the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. Joining me tonight is council candidate in the township of Parsippany, New Jersey, Justin Musella, here on Politically Direct. Justin, did I pronounce your name correctly? My apologies.
No, you hit it correctly. Musella is how you say it.
All right, awesome.
That's
all
how
right, cool,
I ended
cool.
up in sales. I have the word in my name.
There you go. You know, Justin, listen, that's an excellent breakdown. And I think that for our listeners tonight, especially those that are in Parsippany that will be voting, you know, what you're proposing sounds like a breath of fresh air without question. Again, being a policy nerd, what you're saying to me is you're preaching to the choir. I mean, I'm probably the only opinion journalist in New Jersey that is harping on fiscal responsibility. I mean, New Jersey is a reflection of a state that's just poorly run, as we all know, in Trenton. People wouldn't know budgeting if they looked up the word in the dictionary. And unfortunately, that kind of trickles down to municipalities. And we see that, whether it's in your county, my county in Hudson, or anywhere else, even as far south as Atlantic County. I mean, that again, budgeting and spending responsibly is just a rampant problem in government overall, whether it's the federal level, state, or even, again, at the local level. So just to be clear, in Parsippany coming up in this race, like we see with a lot of other municipalities, they tend to be nonpartisan elections. Is that the case here as well? I mean, is it just, you know, is it Republicans versus Democrats for these specific seats? Or is it just, you know, Justin Musella running for a council seat?
Yeah, that's a great question. At the local level, 99.9% of the issues we're talking about and what we're doing is of a nonpartisan nature. When I'm going right now and speaking to Democrats and unaffiliateds, I'm talking about the issues that have the maximum amount of human impact on their lives. I'm not talking about the border crisis or climate change or who's in the White House. I'm talking to them about why has that pothole been there for 4 years and hasn't been filled? We have electrical wires that hang on the side of our streets that have never been posted back up, and that's been going on almost 5 years. Why why do we have municipal operations that don't run on time when there's an extremely high cost of living in Parsippany?
Yeah.
So I'm talking to people about issues that affect them, and I'm not getting bogged down in the partisan issues, because at the end of the day, when I'm speaking with somebody who's probably voted Democrat their whole life, and you had mentioned something interesting about, you know, me preaching to the choir. Well, a large part of what I do is I don't preach to the choir. I go and preach to the firing squad. And that is in large part why I think I've had the success that I've had. And I see this groundswell of positive activity that is going to culminate in an election victory up and down. But these are partisan elections. But the issues that I'm talking about and running on are nonpartisan in nature.
Listen, and I'm glad you're saying that, because I've interviewed a lot of municipal candidates during this cycle right now. Again, not just, for example, yourself, but in other counties. I've also interviewed legislative candidates all year long. And again, I'm a meat and potatoes guy. Like, that's what is important right now during this election cycle. I mean, you know, how you feel about national issues, I mean, that's great. But at the end of the day, Justin, I think this is something that we can both agree on. You know, residents in any town want the basics. They want their garbage picked up on time. They want to make sure that during the winter season that the roads are, you know, plowed and salted accordingly, that recycling is getting picked up promptly, that, you know, City Hall is responsive to its residents, that if you have a problem, like you said, a pothole not being filled, or, for example, you know, we went through a couple of weeks ago with Hurricane Ida. Not sure how it was in Parsippany, up by me, you know, in Hudson County. I mean, it was flooding everywhere. You know, how responsive is the administration in town being to residents. I mean, these are important things. You know, if someone wants to be the next AOC progressively, I don't care about that. I don't care about her to begin with, but that's not important on local levels. You know, if you want to be the next Ben Shapiro, who I like listening to daily, that's great, but that's not what people care about at the local level. And I think that, you know, aside from the fact we live in this extreme period of tribalism politically, it's at the local level, we have to kind of just think about the bare basics. It's like, you know, the X's and O's. I'm a big football guy. You know, it's like the X's and O's, the blueprint of, you know, what's the basics of government and legislating. And I think people forget about that. I think they get so consumed with national issues, they forget about what really matters at the local level. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I see it all the time. I can't tell you how many other candidates, mind you, before I decided to run for office, I'm currently and have been the chair of the Morris County Young Republicans going on 2 years, but for the better part of almost a decade, I've worked exclusively trying to help Republicans all throughout Northern New Jersey get elected. And the biggest mistake people can make at the door with a voter is they start talking about facts and evidence and arguments, and we forget, and issues don't vote, but people do. And that's why for me, as a personal story, every single night up until election day, I knock on almost 60 doors every single night. And right now I'm dealing with overwhelming majority are Democrats and unaffiliated voters. Those voters that in New Jersey, if you're a Republican, especially, you need them to vote for you. And you have to speak to them. You have to go and knock on their door. And for me, I find it's a great learning experience. It's the best political education of going to somebody's door, and they've probably never had a person of the other political party knock on their door. And you go up to them, and you proudly tell them what you stand for, what you're going to do, and that you're going to stick by it. So many people have respect, or so many people will even come to the conclusion that maybe there's some truth to what I'm saying merely because we're having that engagement. So I urge everybody that's listening, if you're running for office or you're helping somebody to run for office, you have to have a willingness to engage the other side.
Well said, Justin. Let me ask you this, because, again, for our listeners that maybe are not aware about the current makeup in Parsippany, are you running against an incumbent? Is your ticket running against a certain amount of incumbents? And if so, I'm sure a question you're getting all the time is, why is Justin Musella just a better choice right now?
So let's divide your question into two. So the answer to your first part of the question, Jamie Barbario is running against Mayor Michael Soriano. He is the current Democratic mayor. And Mayor Soriano's two council candidates who ran with him in 2017 opted not to run for reelection. So my running mate, Frank Negley, and myself will be running for two open seats. But Jamie Barbario will be running against the incumbent, Michael Soriano. And then,
okay, cool.
To answer, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I just want to make sure our audience got that, because it's sometimes it's a little difficult to, you know, get that out there where people just get confused on ballots or anything else, or they're not sure of like the electoral makeup in the town. So I'm glad you're like dissecting it for us. So please continue.
Sure. And I do have to give a mention to the two outgoing Democratic council candidates, Councilwomen Janice McCarthy and Emily Peterson. I think they were fantastic examples of people who put their partisan labels aside at the local level, and they worked with the Republican council members to do what was in the best interest of Parsippany, where in many cases, Fernando, they were voting against the Democratic mayor and at odds with Mayor Soriano. So I think that's a really good example, and an example that I intend to follow, of people who understand that we're dealing with people at and we have the closest connection with them at the local level. It's where you have an opportunity to do the most amount of good for your neighbor, for your friends and family that live in this town. So what makes me different from everybody else is number one, I am a millennial. So I come from a younger generation that is yearning for representation because we have values that are distinct and deserve to be heard. So I want to give a voice to those younger people and younger families in Parsippany. And then lastly, I want to leave Town Hall better than when I came to it. I think that should always be a goal whenever you're pursuing an office, is to leave it better than you found it.
You know what, Justin, that's a really noble endeavor and sort of like a blueprint that you're trying to establish right now, because we don't hear that too often. I think that, you know, when you're running for elected office in most instances, whether at the federal, state, or local levels, you don't hear that sort of transparency about someone saying, hey, I want to leave the office better than how I found it. And I think that there's this sort of fixation, like I need to win without looking at like, well, what am I going to do when I win? And once I'm there. And I think that gets lost, unfortunately, sometimes when we're talking about politics. And again, as I mentioned before, we live in this time of like tribalism on steroids that we're forgetting about what's good governing and what, you know, that's something that's kind of become almost extinct. And, you know, one of the things about this show is, I mean, I'm a registered independent. I lean very conservative, but I've been holding both parties accountable. And here in New Jersey, Justin, again, I'm not trying to, you know, ruffle feathers, because I like to do that. But the bottom line is that, you know, both parties, I would say, have let us down in different respects here in the state. And I think at the local level, depending on what town you're in, sometimes, you know, lifelong Democrats and lifelong Republicans, you know, creates sort of this climate of complacency. And unfortunately, that trickles down to the municipal levels. And I think that's really frustrating for anyone running for office or for anyone living in a town where you're seeing complacency at City Hall. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's definitely fair to say. I don't think any particular party is immune to criticism. And you know, we always talk about politics, but it is also important to mention policy, since it is the other 50% of what you do when you win. And and politics without policy is empty, and then policy without politics is blind, as a very famous person once said. So I think the blueprint for us to have success is that when we get elected to office, we have to stick by what we stood for in the election, and we have to fight passionately for those ideas. And the way in which we get those ideas enacted, particularly when you are a Republican in this state, is that you need to stop winning arguments and you need to start winning converts.
You know what? That's a great perspective to have. My goodness, that's a really good perspective to have. Let's switch gears a little bit here, Justin, and we'll get back to your race in a moment, but you alluded to previously this evening, you're a two-term chair of the Morris County Young Republicans, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So, I mean, I was a former chair of the Hudson County Young Republicans for 5 years back in the day, and I know how exhausting that can be. We've seen over time that what is a Republican has changed dramatically, very much the same way as, what is a Democrat. And I talk about this all the time in my courses with my students when they ask me or try to pick my brain. You know, at the federal level, you know, we look at someone like a Rand Paul, a senator from Kentucky, Senator Marco Rubio from Florida, Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, or Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas. Yeah, there's an R next to their name, but they're four fundamentally very different Republicans. And, you know, and that's the federal level discussion. But, you know, at the state level here in New Jersey, you know, being a Republican or being someone that's conservative, it's very different. You know, if you live where I live in Northeast Jersey, right here in Hudson County where I reside, overlooking Manhattan every day, it's a very different type of conservative, maybe, or someone who could identify with being a Republican than it is in Bergen and Morris County, or down in Atlantic County or Camden County. You know, from your experience, again, being the chair of a young Republican organization, you know, what are some of the challenges you faced as a chair when looking at how the party's evolved, what the party needs to do better, forget about nationally, but in New Jersey?
Party needs to do better is the party needs to do better at messaging to people what are the costs of the policies that if they knew what they were voting for would have in their lives, what are those costs of voting for bad policies? And how do they impact the families that those policies that have great objectives end up achieving the worst of results? And we can talk about the endless amount of regulations that stifle business and job growth. We can talk about the infringements on individual freedom. But what we've forgotten is how to message to people in a way that resonates with them. And in particular, when it comes to millennials and younger people, we have to talk about what they care about most. And what they care about most, if you talk to any millennial, they care about opportunity and they care about security. And we need to make them realize, and I think a lot of people are starting to wake up, is what stands in front of a younger person in their pathway to prosperity are bad policies. Policies that if people knew the toll that they take on our state of New Jersey and at the local level, they would never knowingly support them. And we have to do everything in our power to make those people, particularly on the other side, aware of the problems and the unseen effects as well as the consequences that those policies have. Now, in my role as Morris County Morris County chairman of the Young Republicans, one of the things that I've been responsible for, along with a very competent and effective e-board, is in 2 years we've tripled our membership. And we also have 6 MCYRs elected to office, and then we have 2 more running this cycle. Dramatic increase in the amount of people that are in my age group that have been elected. So playing an active role and seeing them be successful by working with them, helping them, learning from them has made me a much better candidate, because as I go door to door, I have that experience of what we keep talking about, this blueprint. Well, what is that blueprint and how do you use that blueprint to navigate all of the challenges and opportunities that are going to come when you run for office?
Well said there. Staying again along the topic of sort of Republican politics here in New Jersey, and certainly you're running at the municipal level, Justin, but it is an election year statewide, and certainly on the ballot at the top of the ticket or at the top of the ballot per se is the gubernatorial race. And you know, I'm very conflicted, not just only doing this show, but when I do my other broadcasts with former state assemblywoman Maria Rodriguez Gregg and other shows. I mean, I think I've been one of the more intellectually honest commentators about this gubernatorial race and sort of the direction New Jersey's heading in. And I mean, there's a lot to nail Governor Murphy on. There's a lot to really go to town on the governor on. You know, even before COVID, I mean, there were concerns about how women were being treated, in his campaign, pre-campaign, and then obviously once he took office. His handling of the Edna Mahan women's prison situation has been, I think, deplorable. We've seen the state budget continue to balloon. We're seeing irresponsible spending. Again, New Jersey right now has an average of $9,112 when it comes to property taxes, and those are the highest in the country. We keep coddling illegals in this state, whether it's granting them driver's licenses or taking taxpayer dollars and subsidizing that with a legal fund to provide legal representation for illegals in their immigration hearings. You know, there's stuff with LGBT curriculum that makes a lot of parents uncomfortable. You know, then candidate Phil Murphy was very adamant about making New Jersey the California of the East. And we all know what a disaster California has been. And obviously this past week, I was disappointed to see the results of that recall election. It seems like people who are Democrats just want to see their state continue to plunge into, it just seems like, I think New Jerseyans are kind of on that same path. And the governor has been vulnerable, but for whatever reason, it's almost like he's wearing like Kevlar, because whatever bullets are being fired at him, they're not penetrating. They're not sticking. And I think that's a big indictment of Jack Ciccarelli, who I happen to like. He's been on this show multiple times. I've been interviewing him on other shows I have. But he's at the top of the ticket. And if you're a Republican, whether it's running for a legislative seat, maybe not so much in your position at a municipal level, but if you're a Republican, you've got to be concerned, because Jack Ciccarelli's campaign has been very vanilla, and they've dropped the ball multiple times in this race, Justin. Where am I right? Where am I wrong in my analysis here?
You lay out a very complex problem, and it's a very complicated answer to give. But the best answer I can give is I know Jack personally, and I do know that he is working as hard as humanly possible to ensure that Republicans are successful, and that his ideas are given a chance to benefit everyone when he becomes governor, independents as well as Democrats. So, running a gubernatorial campaign is light years beyond the expertise I have for a very small township council campaign, but I have no doubt that Jack Ciccarelli is running based off of what he feels like are his solutions and his ideas that, if enacted, will be in the best interests of all people in New Jersey. And then lastly, you know, why the recall went it did. You have to if you're going to replace or solve for a problem, you have to give people a compelling alternative. And if there is no compelling alternative, well, we'll by and large stick with the status quo, because change can be scary for a lot of people. So
absolutely.
What I'd like to see, so what I would like to see from a lot of other people that are running, and I'm trying to run the campaign that I look for others to run, is a campaign, as we go back to our original question, is what is your why versus their why? What is the positive impact in the change in the direction of a person's future in Parsippany for supporting me? And if we're extrapolating that to Jack Ciccarelli, he has to explain, how does somebody in Cape May, somebody in Hoboken, how do those people benefit from him in a way that is drastically different than the alternative? And I have no doubt in my mind that Jack is going to continue to do that. But at the local level in Parsippany, I know what I stand for. I know what I'm going to stick by. And I know what I plan to achieve. God willing, we win on November 2nd.
All right. No, well said. Getting back to the campaign here, I just want to pick your brain a little bit politically about what's going on this election season. But getting back locally to Parsippany, you brought up something earlier in the show. I'm just looking at my notes here. And you brought up the notion that development is a problem in Parsippany. And I would argue that that's going on statewide. I mean, for anyone that knows where Hudson County is and knows where I live, you know, when you live in Union City, Weehawken, and Hoboken, I mean, you're looking at Manhattan every day. You know, lifelong residents don't recognize this area from 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. There's been just this tsunami of development. And I get it. It's, you know, if you're a developer, you're up here you know, your eyes start glowing. You're like, oh my God, the view, the this is prime real estate. But this is a problem statewide though, Justin, and it's pervasive, I would argue, in every county. And, you know, Parsippany is no different. It's a great municipality. I've eaten there a couple of times, great restaurants there. Very different ambiance and climate, as they say, than, you know, nearby Hudson and Bergen counties, respectively. It's a great town, but it's beaten, bitten by the development bug. And, you know, should you win on November 2nd and you take office on January 1st, I'm assuming that, you know, one of the issues that council people face in any municipality is when they're approached with, hey, here's a developer coming to town. Here's a developer looking to build here. Yeah, it becomes attractive, but it the problem is with development. And, you know, we're not going to use the word gentrification in Parsippany because it doesn't really apply, I would argue, as it does to other townships in the state of New Jersey, preferably here where I live, and what's more urban as opposed to being more suburban by where you live. You know, what do you want to tell potential developers when you sit on the city on the town council about, hey, you're not going to have free reign here to just develop whenever you want. I want some checks and balances. Is that a fair component about your campaign and ultimately you legislating? Because, again, the town council is the legislative body of the town.
Yeah, my message to developers is that I am far from anti-development. I am pro-smart development. And I want to see things that are developed in a way that has the best and highest use case for the township. And then number two is that when development concerns the taxpayers, particularly with pilots or if a new development is going to add a massive amount of kids to the school district, well, that needs to be taken into consideration because it does affect everybody. We absolutely, of course, welcome developers to come to the town, build new retail buildings, rehabilitate and repurpose the office buildings that currently sit vacant. But we want development done smartly and not in a way that going to gut the character of the town, as I had alluded to earlier, that Parsippany has spent so many years cultivating that small town community atmosphere.
That's a great perspective to have, Justin. I think in especially for our listeners tonight, for those who, let's say, perhaps are undecided in Parsippany and don't know what direction to go in, I mean, you're making a compelling case about what your candidacy means. And ultimately, should you win on November 2nd, which I have a good feeling you're going to win, that's going to translate, again, to good legislating once you're on the town council. Let me ask you this here. Obviously, running for office is time-consuming. It can be exhausting and draining. What's been the feedback from your family, your parents? What's been the feedback from your family, your parents, any significant others? You know, what's some good advice you've gotten along the way here?
Well, some of the good advice that I've gotten along the way is you're never wrong to do the right thing. And, you know, something that I always learned from my father is be who you are around every single person in public and in private. There's no discrepancy between the conversation we're having now and if we were having a conversation in private. I think it's really important to be authentic and to talk in a way that resonates with people, because that's what we're dealing with at the end of the day, is we're dealing with people and we're dealing with solving their problems through the ideas and solutions that we believe to be are the right ones. And the human toll it does take a very large toll on your personal life. I can attest to that. I am one of those people who politics doesn't really benefit my professional life. You know, in my professional life, as I had said before, I work in sales for a technology company. So sometimes when my clients Google my name and they see, you know, what I'm doing and that I'm a Republican, sometimes it can ruffle feathers. you do it because you feel called to do it. Government is not an enterprise to make money, to obtain wealth, or to use power in a way that hurts people. It is your way to enter the arena and to champion a cause that is going to rally other people behind you and fight with everything that you have, because you know that we have everything to gain and everything to lose if this state and my township goes too far in one direction. So we need to restore that balance and to give that taxpayers that sense of hope that we have mentioned that some people feel is fleeting.
I agree with that. It's easy to develop apathy, not just in this election cycle, but any election cycle, where you just feel that even at the local level, people in office are not representing you. They're not being responsive. They're not being transparent. And, you know, it's interesting the example you bring up about what you do for a living, and obviously how that translates sometimes to people once they Google you or whatever. I sort of run into the same problem, Justin. I mean, I work in higher education. I teach history in the social science division in Paramus at BCC. And it's interesting because, unfortunately, I go to campus, I go to the faculty lounge, and I just sit there, put on my headphones, and I don't want to talk to anybody. As we all know, academia, higher learning is preeminently heavy left, if not outright leftist and socialist and communist. And, you know, I'm a guy that if you Google me, you find out very quickly I'm doing a lot of media. And whether it's latching on with a reputable organization like Insider NJ or others, people are going to develop an opinion very quickly, whether it's my students, whether it's my colleagues who are always looking to bait me into an argument or a debate. I don't care. You know, let me just sit there and watch my Netflix. Let me have my muffin. Let me have my coffee. That's it. You know, leave me alone. I don't care. And not because I'm being antisocial. I just don't want to deal with the aggravation of dealing with that. So I can completely understand what you're going through in the sense of like, hey, you know, you want to be able to separate the two. But sometimes that's difficult, especially, you know, in your capacity where you're running for elected office. That could always be a challenge. Let me ask you this here. Moving forward, should you win on November 2nd, what would the first 100 days look like for you, Justin, on the town council in Parsippany?
Well, the first 100 days, realize I'm an elected member where there's four other people who also would be elected. And we also do have a strong mayor, weak council form of government. So as a team, the first 100 days would look like reducing the jobs that serve no value to the taxpayer, number one, the jobs that I had mentioned before that were created under the current administration. And then number two is to look at every single service, look at every single expenditure, and to ensure that there is a tax dollar of value for every tax dollar and revenue collected. And then number three is we have to get back to being the examples and models of good. There's many tools that we have at our disposal to ensure that residents feel like they're getting the maximum value out of town hall that aren't being utilized. For example, the Mayor's Action Center is notorious for having residents who have concerns and questions go unanswered or a lack of response. And in my business, you get fired if you don't respond to customers. So that's the mindset difference. And then number two is I would like to be a very heavily involved and an independent councilman that offers office hours on weekends for residents where they can come in if they feel like they need a champion for their cause and they have an issue or a problem. I'd like them to know that I will be there for them, and that applies to 24/7. And in the first 100 days, we're going to show how much of a new change has happened at town hall and to restore that pride in Parsippany.
Folks, it's 9:55 here on the East Coast on Blog Talk Radio. It's my pleasure to speak with tonight Township of Parsippany Council candidate Justin Musella here tonight on Politically Direct. Justin, before we wrap up here in a little bit, let's have some real world sort of, word association kind of, for our audience to get to know Justin Musella, not just the candidate, but the guy. So a couple of things here. I'm curious about your answers. Yankees or Mets?
I am actually not a baseball fan, but most of my family members are Mets fans, so I would say Mets.
Okay, cool. Jets or Giants?
I would go with the Jets.
Okay, interesting, okay. Night owl or early riser?
I'm an early riser and a night owl.
Okay, good stuff. PlayStation or Xbox?
I was a PlayStation person through and through.
Okay, very nice. How do you think of coffee? You think it black or do you like, the usual condiments? Soy milk, skim, whatever.
Milk, no sugar since I'm sweet enough.
Okay, very nice. All right, good stuff. I like the answer. Good stuff. Favorite U.S. president?
My favorite U.S. president, that has to be Ronald Reagan.
Oh, very nice. Okay, very nice. Favorite musician or band?
The Beatles.
All right, excellent. Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Okay, all right. Good. Folks, I'm telling you, he's been 1,000 in my eyes here. I'll tell you that much. Except the Mets. I mean, I'm a big Yankee fan, but I mean, man, dude, you're nailing these. Here's a good one.
Well, you won't hold that against me. I'm actually a very ignorant baseball fan. So.
No, that's okay. Here's the last one. I think hopefully it'll be the most thought-provoking one. You would like to have lived in.
I would have liked to have lived in the 1980s. The 1980s, that was the decade that preceded me being born. And all of, at least my parents, they talk about how the decade was great. You had a lot of ups. You had Ronald Reagan became president and, the tremendous success that he had, and that really trickled down to the local level. It was a decade of pride where people were happy that they knew that their elected leaders had their best interests at the core of their human being. And also at the end of the 1980s came the fall of the Soviet Union. So a lot of people rejoiced at the fact that the looming threat of war mostly passed. So I think that would be a great decade to be born in.
Well, I'll tell you, just as someone who lived through the 80s, and I'm dating myself a little bit here, great point about the fall of communism in Europe with the collapse of the Soviet Union. I would argue the best decade for music, arguably maybe the best decade for sitcoms. Well, I'm a big sitcom fan, so I like your answer. Bro, listen, I'm rooting for you. I can tell you're a very transparent guy. I can sense your heart's in the right place and you're trying here. You want to make a difference in the town of Parsippany. So before I let you go again, I want to thank you for your time. I hope that you can share this episode and really tell everyone you know how much of a fan you are of Politically Direct with Fernando Uribe via Insider NJ. So I certainly hope you can do that. I want to thank you for your time. I know you've been very busy. You're working and campaigning. I can't imagine how exhausted you must be. I'm sure you want to just maybe either sit back, have a glass of wine, and relax, or maybe just get to bed. But in either way, I want to thank you for your time, though, Justin. And I'll give you the last word here. Why is Justin Musella a great choice for Parsippany on November the 2nd?
Because in light of every single obstacle I face, despite the overwhelming odds against my ticket and myself, I always remain a happy warrior. And what I would let everybody know that's listening in New Jersey, particularly if you feel like me or you've ever felt like me, is that at the local level, smaller victories beget larger victories. And get involved. Running for office is not for everybody. It's been the thrill of a lifetime. If I win or lose, it doesn't matter. I've gotten to know some great people. I've seen I've made connections with people I otherwise never would have. And it's a great opportunity to work relentlessly towards a goal and have a team of people there at your side. And it gives you the ability to see if what you stand for resonates with people. The best thing I can do from Parsippany is help wake people up and then continue to do that again and again.
Well, folks, listen, check out his website, www.musellaforcouncil.com. That's Musella for council.com. You wish to donate this campaign, whether it's dollars or your time. Folks, this is a good man right here, and I'm happy to have him on the show here. I appreciate him taking the time to really dissect the issues and talk about why his candidacy is so important, the township of Parsippany. So, Justin, God bless you, bro. Stay healthy.
Thank you.
Good luck the rest of the way. We'll check back in with you and see how you're doing. But in the meantime, keep, chugging along and knocking on doors, raising eyebrows, getting people to think during this election season, because now more than ever, we need fiscally responsible people in all levels of government. We're seeing what's going on at the federal level where people don't understand budgeting other than the word in the dictionary. We see it in Trenton, too, in New Jersey. We don't want to see that at the municipal level. So, bro, best of luck to you. I want to thank you for your time, and thank you for believing in Politically Direct via Insider NJ.
It was my pleasure to be here, and thank you so much for the thought-provoking questions, and I do appreciate what you do. I've always been a follower and a big fan of yours, so it's an extreme honor for me to be here in the capacity as a candidate, and I wish you all the best. And you are right. We're in the home stretch. There's 45 days till election, so you can check in with me anytime, or if anybody wants to follow me on Facebook, just go to Musella for Council, and you can see what I'm doing and the fight that I'm out there fighting every day and night.
Well, Justin, hopefully when I check back in with you and I schedule an interview with you, I'll put Councilman Justin Musella on the promo there. So that's what I'm hoping for, okay? So that's what
that
I'm hoping for. I'm sure a lot of people are too. Bro, stay healthy. I'll talk to you again soon here on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Fernando. Bye now.
Have a good night. Folks, good interview tonight here with Justin Musella again, council candidate in the town of Parsippany. Folks, listen, you love to hear the enthusiasm in a young candidate. You love to hear the enthusiasm in a guy that wants to change his township for the better. And I don't know about you, but hey, you have to want to root for a guy like this. So we'll see what happens coming up on November 2nd. It'll be very interesting to see what transpires in the township of Parsippany out in Morris County. Folks, 10:05 here on the East Coast. Again, we appreciate you tuning in here on Politically Direct. If you're just joining us live here, again, great interview with council candidate Justin Musella here in Politically Direct Studios here, Blog Talk Radio Studios here in Union City. So we appreciate you tuning in there. You can always check out not just only this episode tonight, but previous episodes of Politically Direct by going to the website, www.insidernj.com/podcasts. And you can listen to all of our guests we've had in 2021 and obviously all the archives as well. Folks, if you wish to write to the show, do me a favor, write to me. I do check the inbox regularly. PoliticallyDirectNJ@yahoo.com. Once again, PoliticallyDirectNJ@yahoo.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram at PoliticallyDirectNJ. I also do make it a point to update that page, and I will soon, I promise. Also check out my own Instagram at Professor Fernando Uribe. That's at Professor Fernando Uribe. Also, hit me up on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, at No Filter Uribe. Again, at No Filter, U-R-I-B-E. And certainly make sure you check out Politically Direct on Facebook as well. And, of course, you know, this show is brought to you by Insider NJ, the leader in political news here in the Garden State. Check out www.insidernj.com for the best political news anywhere in the state of New Jersey. Nobody does it better, folks. Not NJTV, not the Star Ledger, not NorthJersey.com, not, you know, whatever else, you know, you look at for statewide news. Folks, the best in the business is Insider NJ. Again, make sure you like Insider NJ on Facebook. Follow it also on Twitter. Once you're on the website, folks, click on the subscribe button, and you will be automatically enrolled in the morning intelligence briefing, which you get in your inbox every single morning. So do check out that. Of course, folks, again, www.insidernj.com. Don't forget to start and end your day with Insider NJ. Folks, that's our show for this week here. Again, we appreciate your time. We appreciate you tuning in here every single week, again, via insidernj.com/podcast. Once again, I want to thank Parsippany Township Council candidate Justin Musella for joining us here on the show. A lot to talk about, a great young man, a great young candidate. You should definitely want to check him out, and please do so. And, of course, folks, always remember, if it's unbiased, unfiltered, and unafraid, you can always rely on the four-time award-winning Politically Direct. I'm Fernando Uribe, folks, New Jersey's premier journalist and the sworn enemy of all the local social justice clowns and woke fools that we have to encounter every single day. Once again, I'll see you next week here, folks, on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, let's keep on talking.